Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We're thankful today for this day, Lord. And Lord, we want to honor you. We want to honor our mothers, godly women, Lord. And it's our prayer, Lord, that every one of our moms would come to know you as Lord and Savior if they don't already, Lord. That we would know that they know you and have that relationship with you, Lord. Lord, would you bless them today? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can turn to your Bibles into Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, we're going to look this morning at verses 11 through 31. And the title of our message is The Portrait of a Godly Woman. The Portrait of a Godly Woman. May this message be an encouragement to you young girls who are becoming women, to those of you who are already women, and to those of you who are or will become mothers. I hope and pray that this message will encourage you to become godly women. And may this message be an acknowledgement of those of you who have already attained to the godliness that's described here in Proverbs 31. Now for us men, young men, older men, single or married, let this be a reminder to us that a godly woman like the one described here in this proverb is to be honored and treasured. And for all of us who have mothers, and we all do, amen? Let this be a reminder to us that God wants us to respect and honor our mothers. We're told in Exodus chapter 20, as one of the commandments, honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul picked up on that and said, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, meaning that there's a promised blessing for those who do. What I would like to do this morning is to read Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 20, or 31, and then go back and point out 10 things about a godly woman. 10 things which paint a portrait of a godly woman. The writer, beginning in verse 10, says, who can find a virtuous woman? The old King James says a godly wife. For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, yes. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, the old King James says virtuously, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And in verse 31, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. There are 22 verses from verse 10 through 21, and there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And each of these 22 verses begin with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet all in order. It's what's called an acrostic. And this was done in order to help the young Hebrew men memorize this. Every Jewish boy grew up memorizing this proverb and was taught this proverb by his mother. And so by default, every Jewish boy grew up memorizing the criteria in which he was to measure the excellence of a woman, a godly woman. The key word in our text this morning is the word virtue. Look at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her worth is far above rubies? Look back now, if you would, at verse 3 in Proverbs 31. This is the king's mom advising her son, the king. She says, do not give your strength. That's the same word translated virtue in verse 10. To women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. And then look ahead to verse 29. Many daughters have done well or virtuously, but you excel them all. The American Heritage Dictionary defines virtue as moral excellence, righteousness, and goodness. Secondly, as chastity and purity. Thirdly, as efficient, beneficial, advantageous. Fourthly, as effective, strong, and practical. And then a fifth definition of that word virtue is courageous. And those things are all true of godly women. First of all, a godly woman is a woman of faith. Look at verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. And so a godly woman believes in and trusts God. She looks to God for her wisdom. She looks to God's law for her instruction. Her entire life is an application of the Word of God, playing itself out in kindness towards others, and it shows. In Psalm 119, verse 15, it says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. And that's exactly what a godly woman does. In verse 30, it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. And so a godly woman not only believes in the Lord and trusts the Lord, but she fears the Lord. She serves God with all of her heart, her mind, and her soul. She seeks God's will for her life, and she follows His will. Jesus said, of course, if you love me, then keep my commandments. A godly woman also teaches her children about God and about His word. In fact, back in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, it says, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. And so a godly woman not only believes in the Lord, but she loves the Lord, she fears the Lord. Secondly, a godly woman respects her husband. This is in verses 10, 11, and 12. It says, who can find a virtuous woman? And that doesn't mean that a virtuous woman can't be found, but that they're rare. For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. A godly woman, if she's married, she respects her husband. His confidence in her is unquestioned. There's trust between the two of them, which is the foundation for a good marriage. She will never give him any reason to not trust her or to be suspicious. Her husband can go off to work, throwing himself completely into his work, knowing that his wife is devoted to him and to him alone, and she can be trusted. Proverbs 12:4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Proverbs 19:14 says, houses and riches are inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. It says that she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And so this woman is devoted to her husband in good times, in bad times, in times of happiness and in times of sadness. It doesn't matter, in times of sickness and in health. This kind of woman is an asset. Good comes to him that can be directly attributed to her place and influence in his life. She supports him and encourages him. She's faithful in helping him all the days of her life. Thirdly, a godly woman is mothering. Look at verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. A godly woman, if she has children, she teaches them the ways of the Lord. She nurtures them in the love of the Lord. She disciplines them with care and with wisdom. And she trains them in the way that they should go. Proverbs 22 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. I've also noticed and learned that a godly woman does not have to have children in order to be mothering. I've witnessed that more than once. The influence that a godly woman has on children that are not hers necessarily. And even I've seen the same thing with godly men who have an influence on young people around them. It's a blessing. Fourthly, a godly woman is health conscious. I don't mean fanatical, but she's careful. A godly woman takes care of herself and her family. She feeds them good things. She takes time to prepare good and healthy meals. Look at verse 14 and 15. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar, not from Del Taco. It's okay once in a while. She also rises while it is yet night, and she provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. And so she gets up early in the morning. She plans and prepares for the day's tasks and activities. And she not only provides food for her own family, but for visitors and guests, and she cooks and serves those that are in her realm of influence. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Look at verse 17. She girds herself with strength, and she strengthens her arms. And so a godly woman takes an active role in making sure that she's in good health, because her family depends upon her and others depend upon her. She takes good care of herself, and it shows. The Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth said, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Fifthly, a godly woman serves others. She serves her husband, her children, her family and friends, her church, her neighbors, those she works with. In verse 12, it says she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. In verse 15, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. In verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. It was Abraham Lincoln who said, no man is poor who has had a godly mother. I thought, what wisdom is that? She not only takes care of her own family's needs, but those that aren't fortunate enough to be a part of her family, she's mindful of those around her. She's thoughtful and generous. In Ephesians 4:28, says, let him that stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands for that which is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. And so that's part of being godly, to serve others, to think about others. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. A godly woman serves others. She's charitable. Sixthly, a godly woman is thrifty. She's enterprising. She's mindful of the finances. She's not frivolous. She's careful how she spends, especially if she's responsible for the household's finances. It says in verse 6, she considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She may or may not work outside the home, but she doesn't mind working. And when she has a little extra, she invests in that which will benefit her and her family. She has a business mind. She's always thinking about better ways to do things. She controls her finances. They do not control her. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. which some have strayed away, Paul said. She's not taken by this. Verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is good. And so she exercises wisdom in all of her purchases. I'm amazed at what my wife can get. Especially if I say, have a ball. I get one shirt. She comes home with three outfits. Number seven, a godly woman is industrious. Look at verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She sews, choosing all of the best fabrics for her family. Now, when our daughter-in-law, her name's Erin, we knew she was the one for our son, when in high school, in her sewing class, she made his and her robes for Sandy and I. We thought, she's the one. Boy, we knew. It's right out of the Proverbs. She makes sure that her family's clothing are clean and they're pressed, and she's eager to do so. And notice the word willingly means it's a delight for her to work with her hands. She actually enjoys it. In Philippians, it says, do all things without murmuring and complaining. That's so easy to do. Look at verse 18 again. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She's motivated. Now, this doesn't mean that she doesn't sleep, but that she plans ahead. She plans out her day. And if we're honest, guys, sometimes our wives, they're up before we are, and they work all day long, and they're still doing things while we're... You guys know. My wife makes a list of all the things every day or for the week, and then every morning she makes a list, and she starts doing those things, and she doesn't finish until she's done. Verse 19, she stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle, talking about all the sewing and the things that they would do. She even made her own clothes. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. If need be, she makes things to sell in order to help out around the house. Number 8, a godly woman is a homemaker. A godly woman creates an inviting atmosphere of warmth and love for her family and her guests. She's hospitable. Verse 15, she also rises while it's yet night, provides food for her household and a portion for her handmaids. Look at verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household. And her household is clothed with scarlet. They're well taken care of. Her clothes are not shabby. She dresses herself and her family well, clean, fashionable, not frumpy. She never has to worry about her family being warm and appropriately clothed. She spares no cost or effort in protecting her family. She's a homemaker. In Titus chapter 2, verse 5, Paul said, women are to be discreet, chaste, homemakers. It's an honorable thing. Number 9, a godly woman makes wise use of her time. Verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She is anything but lazy. She doesn't sit around watching soap operas. The idle mind is the devil's workshop. I've found that unless I'm busy, I'm getting myself in trouble. That's just how it is. So I try to stay as busy as possible. In Ecclesiastes, it says, to everything, there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. If God has given you some time, there's something that you need to use it for. And let's use it wisely. A godly woman does that. And number 10, a godly woman is beautiful. She's attractive in a number of ways, on a number of levels. Verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman, for her worth is far above rubies. She's a woman of worth and beauty. Verse 23, her husband's known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Her beauty extends beyond herself and even serves to beautify those around her, her husband and her family, and their position in society. She functions in such a way as to never bring shame on her or her family or her husband. She carries herself well, and she brings respect to her husband by doing so. Now, we already mentioned Proverbs 12:4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. In verse 25, look at, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She's not worried about what the future might bring. She's confident. Strength. She's a woman of character. Physical strength as well. Why? Because she's not lazy. She's busy. And there's a strength that's built up over time, just keeping herself busy. Honor speaks of her being an ornament. She's dignified. As she becomes older, her children grow, and they will appreciate her more and more. They'll realize the sacrifices that she's made for them and for others. Look at verse 29. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. There are many beautiful women and many wonderful wives and mothers, but the godly woman, she excels them all. Charm, verse 30, is deceitful, and beauty is vain. Physical beauty doesn't last, but godly beauty does. In fact, it grows. Godly character grows. There's an old Swedish proverb that says, good looks do not last, but good cooking does. A lot of ways to look at that. But 1 Peter 3:3, it says, do not let your beauty be that outward adorning of arranging of hair and wearing of gold or putting on a fine apparel, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with an incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. God notices godly women whose character's from the inside out, whose beauty is on the inside and shows on the outside. Charm is deceitful, beauty's in vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The fear of the Lord, it says back in chapter 1 of Proverbs, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so the last lesson of the book of Proverbs is the same as the first lesson. Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord brings wisdom and knowledge and grace to a person's life. And it is the condition for all virtue, whatever that might be, for both men and women. The godly woman's secret and all that she's become is found in a relationship to the Lord. And because that's right, then all of her other relationships are good. Verse 31. The only command here in this whole portion. Give her of the fruit of her hands. I thought, that's interesting. What does that mean? Honor her. Take care of her. Do something for her. Do things for her to show her that you appreciate her. It's a command. And this command can apply, of course, to men and to women about their mothers, about our mothers, to children about their mothers, to men, husbands about their wives. There are so many applications here. And let her own works praise her in the gates. She too has a place in society, right alongside of her husband who's sitting in the city gates at home, though. Isn't that beautiful? Now, we that have godly women in our lives, we ought to praise them. That's the truth. And thank God for them. Whether they are our wives, our mothers, or our daughters. And not just privately, but publicly. We need to teach the next generation how to respect women and mothers. Amen? They are to be recognized for who they are and rewarded for what they do. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Let's pray. See, we're going to let you out early on Mother's Day. Isn't that a blessing? Yeah. Father God, we are so thankful for godly women, for the portrait here of a godly woman. And Lord, we're asking and praying that this would be an encouragement to those who are seeking after godliness, Lord, and an acknowledgement for those who have arrived, those that fit this portrait, those that you're talking about here, Lord. And Lord, we want to lift up now our wives, our mothers, our daughters. We thank you for them, God. Help us to honor and treasure them. And show us what it means, Lord. In verse 31, when it says that we're to give them the fruit of their hands. Show us what that means. Show us how we can be obedient to that command with those women that you've placed in our life. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this day. And Lord, we honor you, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray now for our wives, our daughters, our moms, that every one of them would come to know you as Lord and Savior, more important than anything else, that they would be saved. We thank you and praise you for this day, Lord. We give it to you, and we do so in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.